CBS Radio presents the CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Tonight, a study in semantics, or a play on words. It is written by Anthony Ellis and is called A Matter of Logic.
All right, Bill, hold it. You mind, Bill? I'd like to get a timing on this thing. We're late now.
I'm sorry, Tony.
All right, now, hold it quiet now. We'll start again from the top. Keep it quiet, real quiet. From the top again.
Hey, Tone.
Yes, Bill.
Look, seriously, why do you stop? It's none of my business, but you got three titles in there. The show's confusing enough as it is without that. Can't you cut...
Bill, look, we've got an hour until we go on the air. Now, can we finish the dress rehearsal first? We've spent the whole bloody afternoon
Okay. I'll keep my mouth shut.
All right, once more, please. You from the top. Keep it quiet. All right, here we go.
CBS Radio presents the CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Tonight, a study in semantics, or a play on words. It is written by Anthony Ellis and is called A Matter of Logic.
Well, Bill, that's supposed to be a word cue for you.
I'm sorry, Tony. I'm just trying to figure it out, that's all.
Figure what out?
Well, how to do this thing, Tony?
Well, don't you think it's a little late for that, Bill? Why don't you just try it all the way through? Maybe it'll come together. You've spent most of the rehearsal arguing about the logic. Now, perhaps if you try a performance...
Oh? Well, if you don't like my performance, Tony, maybe you better get yourself another boy,
I haven't heard a performance yet. Now, come on, Bill, please.
Look, you've given me 26 minutes of monologue to play. That's a lot of double talk, and I don't understand it. Nobody in the studio will understand it, and the audience is not going to understand it. But you want me to give a performance, huh?
Wait a minute. I'll come out. We'll get this thing settled once and for all. Carlos, you might as well take 5 minutes. I'll be right out.
Yeah, I'd like to have a little
more. Where's the coffee?
Be in, boy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Hugh?
Yeah?
You know what this is all about? Do you understand it?
Well, don't ask me, Bill. I'm neutral. I just want to get a timing on my closing announcer. We'll probably have cuts, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
You want coffee, Will?
Yeah, Stace, would you? I know he wants to do a dress, Stace, but what's the use? I don't know what the narrator's talking about half the time, and the other half's a lot of nonsense anyway. I don't know what he wants me to do. As far as I'm concerned, he might just as well fill the time with a half hour of music. I can't do this thing.
Oh, stop it. How do you want your coffee?
No, black.
Okay.
Been on my back all day long. Maybe he knows what he wants, but I don't.
All right. No, I'd just as soon skip the rehearsal if I can get you to understand the show. I'll take a chance of getting off the air on time. Cars, will you hold it down, please? Hold it quiet. Now, what's the problem, Bill?
Are you kidding, Tony? I don't understand any part of this thing.
Oh?
Ben?
Well, I don't see why not. Stacy?
Yeah?
Stacy, you want to tell him in a couple of words? Seems to me at this point it shouldn't take much more than that.
Oh, you just... Leave me out of it, Father. I've been through this before with you two, remember?
Well,
Scotty, you want to call a coffee shop?
I think there's a lot to be said for both sides.
Oh. All right, Polly. Right now, I'd like to do the side that Bill's got to play. You want to tell him?
Well, I see your point,
Well,
Bill,
thank you, Paul.
Well, Tony wrote the script and... Well, he must have known what he had in mind. Didn't you, Tony?
Thanks a lot,
Polly.
Fred? Fred?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony, I wasn't listening. What page, Joe?
That's all right. Well, Mary Jane, you got any ideas?
Well, look, airwaves are something. You can't see airwaves. But they are something. And, you know, the sun rays. You know, what are those rays? The sun
rays.
The cosmic rays. Now, they're something. You can't see them.
Well, how about sound? You know, the largest tree in the forest can fall, but unless the disturbed air caused by the crash reaches the eardrum of some living thing, there will be no sound.
Oh, really?
All right, hold it down. This isn't getting us anywhere. Quiet, please, will you?
Tony, don't worry about them understanding it. I'm the guy who has the problem. I'm the guy saddled with 99 million words. Look, why don't you worry about me understanding? And I don't understand it, and I don't know where to start.
All right, Bill. Let's start at the beginning.
We've been through that.
All right, we'll do it again. Line 17. Hold it quiet, will you please? 17, definition, page 1.
It's pointless, Tony.
No. Not if it makes you understand. Line 17. Now, come on, Bill. Let's try it.
All right. Nobody. A noun. Meaning no person. No one. Hence, a person of no influence, importance, or social standing. An insignificant person.
Okay, fine. Now, let's stop right there. Now, forget the script for a minute.
I'd be delighted.
Oh, come on, Bill. Now, I'm trying to get this thing
I'm
done.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, now. Nobody. Meaning no person. No one. Hence, a person of no influence, no importance.
But they're not the same thing, Tony. They're separate and distinct. And besides, that's not what you're saying in the script.
Well, what am I saying?
You're saying nobody, no-body, is really somebody.
That's right. In order for there to be a nobody, there has to be a, or has to have been, a somebody.
It's a play on words then, Tony, but it isn't logic.
But of course it is, Bill.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Now, wait a minute. Look here. Supposing you and Junior at home, telephone rings, and he says...
Probably for you anyway.
Yeah, honey, I will. Nella. Hello.
Who was it, honey?
I don't know. Nobody was there. They must have hung up.
Mm.
Nobody was there, Bill. Right?
Yeah, that's right, Tony.
But there had to be somebody on the other end to ring your phone.
What's the point?
That particular nobody, the one on the phone, was somebody.
Not when I answered the phone, he wasn't.
Let me finish now. That's one nobody. All right, now here's another one. You're home. It's dinner time. Somebody comes to the door.
Bill, someone's at the door. I'm getting the dog's food ready.
Okay, I'll go. Lisa, honey, will you please be quiet?
Who was it?
Nobody. Probably some kids.
Nobody, Bill. But somebody rang the doorbell. Junie said someone was at the door. Hmm?
I'm not arguing with you,
Up
Tony.
To now, though, you follow me.
I understand that when I go to the door, there's no body at the door. The absence of a body. Hmm?
Nobody.
All right. Nobody.
And the same thing with nothing. Nothing can also be something.
Well, let's finish with nobody.
No, they tie up. Now, you don't understand what I'm trying to say in the script, Bill, that nobody is really somebody and nothing is always something. That's the whole idea. They're inseparable. Now, look, let's take nothing.
Go ahead.
You're upstairs. You're in bed. And now you've put the light out, and you're almost asleep, and suddenly Junie turns over and shakes you.
Bill. Bill.
What?
Bill, I heard something downstairs.
What is it?
Wake up. Bill.
What is it?
I heard something.
Where, honey?
Downstairs.
Oh, darling, the dogs would have barked. Now go to sleep.
No, I heard it again just... Now, there is something, Bill.
Right. Seems to me you're always hearing something.
Well, I did. Listen.
Oh, it's probably a tree branch.
No, it isn't.
I wish you'd wear earplugs.
Be careful.
Of what?
You look all over downstairs, Bill. You don't hear anything. You don't see anything. So you go back upstairs, and Junie says to you...
What was it?
I told you nothing. There's nobody there, nothing at all.
Nothing there. Nobody there. But you both heard a sound.
Well, you say we did. I didn't, Tony. Besides, why have I always got to be the one who answer the phones and the doorbells and get up in the middle of the night? Why don't you let her do it?
That's funny. Well, no, let's not be funny. I'm as sick of this thing as you are, Bill.
I doubt that,
We've got
Tony.
A show to put on the air in about 40 minutes, and it's going to go on. Now, will you please try to help?
You haven't said anything new, Tony. I know what you're getting at. You're saying nobody, nothing, are somebody and something. Tangible somebodies and somethings, but they're not, Tony. Now... If you want to make a play on words, that's all right with me. But what you're asking me to do is make reality out of fantasy, and that's the way you want me to play it. But I can't do it, Tony. It can't be done. It's not logic, and we can sit here for 10 hours. That's not going to change
anything. But you do agree that nobody is the absence of somebody?
Obviously.
As an example.
Oh, that's not. I don't want any more
examples. As an example, you're a policeman. Now, you get a call about a murder. You go to the scene of the crime, and while you're there,
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, Hugh.
I'd like to be able to run through the closing before we go on the air. There are a couple of things.
That's all right. We'll have time. Now, don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Look, Tony, why don't we just forget about it? I'll do the best I can.
This may help to straighten it out. Now, look, you're a policeman. You go to the scene of a crime.
Yeah.
When you get there, the officer on the beat's waiting for you.
What happened?
Near as I can find out, there's been a murder, sir. Witnesses report hearing shots and a scream. They're right over there. You want to talk to them?
Where's the body?
Well, that's the funny part about it. There isn't one. No body.
What do you mean, no body? You said a murder's been committed.
Yeah, I know, but when I got here, there was no body anywhere around.
Well, what happened to it?
I don't know, sir. Nobody seems to know.
No. That's the absence of somebody, some corpse. In other words, no corpse, no body.
Go on.
And the officer says nobody seems to know. Now, that's a different nobody.
So?
But the nobodies who don't seem to know anything about the missing bodies are the witnesses, right?
Yeah.
And the witnesses are somebodies, but they're also nobodies.
Look, Tony, I'm tired. I'd just as soon drop the whole thing. You're right. You are right. I can do the show, and I will do the show.
And you understand it?
No, I don't understand it, Tony. All you've managed to do is make it even more confusing.
Well, I think we're on the right track. You'll see it in a minute.
Well, I guess as soon not.
Well, we've gone this far. Now, let's finish.
None of this has got anything to do with the script I've got to do, though, Tony.
Bill, it's got everything to do with it if you'll just be open-minded about
it. Look, you're very convincing. If you want 2 and 2 to make 5 for the sake of argument, you can do it. With fantasy, you can do anything. I agree with you. 2 and 2 make 5. But it isn't logic, Tony. It's fantasy. That I can play if you want me.
But I don't want you to play it as a fantasy, Bill. I want you to play it as a realistic piece because it is reality.
We're back where we started.
Are you deliberately trying to be arbitrary, Bill?
Oh, come off. Knock it off,
I mean
Tony.
It.
Listen, I'm just an actor. You wrote this epic. You're directing it. Now, if you can make me understand what you want, I'll play it for you. It's not my fault if you're inarticulate.
Or you're so blasted obstinate that you won't see what I'm trying to say.
What? What are you trying to say?
Right,
I wish you'd tell me.
Please.
Look, if I can't understand, how do you expect the audience to, huh? I've got a wonderful idea. Why don't you play this thing yourself, and I'll go sit in your little control room and wave my finger at you. How about that?
You know, if it weren't so late, Bill, I'd try that.
I'll bet you would, yeah. That's a nice piece of arrogance.
Do you mind if we get into personalities after the show, Bill?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. I'm sorry, fellas.
It's all right. It's all right. It's my fault, too. Now, look, I'm trying to see your side, Bill. I really am. Will you just do one thing for me? Now, maybe this will clear it up.
Yeah, sure. What?
Turn to page 21. 21.
Yeah.
Line 8. No. Let's start on 10. Yeah, that's it. That great assemblage of nobody's line 10.
I got it. Who are they? That great assembly of nobodies. Where do they come from? But why should I be afraid? They're non-existent. They can't. They don't affect me.
Well?
Well?
Well, that's it, isn't it?
What, Tony? Who are the nobodies? Where did they come from? Will you tell me? I still don't get it.
Bill, by the time you get to that speech, you've already been answering the question for 20 pages, and you can't even see
it.
No,
I can't see it.
Oh, Lord. Hold it, Stacy, will you? Bill, that's the whole point of the show. You, the narrator, tells the audience that nobodies are somebodies. You spend 20 minutes doing it, but the twist at the end is that because you're so logically minded, so analytical, you're not flexible enough to encompass the enormity of the truths you've been saying.
Are you talking about me now or this character I'm playing?
The character.
All right. Now for me, huh? Little old Bill, you tell me. Where do they come from, Tony? I'm as stupid as this character I'm playing. Where do these nobodies come from?
Okay, you said it somewhere back on 10, I don't know, 10, 11, doesn't matter. Look, I'll give it to you simply.
Yeah, you do that. You make it very simple.
Don't worry, I will.
Excuse me, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, Hugh, what?
I'll be able to get that timing on the close, won't I, in case you want some cuts. We've only got 20 minutes.
You'll have time, Hugh, before air. Now, don't worry.
Thank you.
I don't know why I took this call. I could have gone fishing today.
Well, nobody twisted your arm,
Oh,
though.
Don't say nobody that way, please.
All right. Now, look. Just keep an open mind and listen.
Okay, open mind and I'm listening.
Nobody's... are really somebody.
You've said that.
I'm saying it again. All the nobodies we hear about, the nobody on the phone, nobody at the door, all of them, they're somebody. Where do they come from? Well, all right. Let's say you and I go out for lunch, dinner.
Yeah.
We're having a drink. Somebody comes into the restaurant, anyone. You see him. I don't know him, but you do. You lean across the table to me and you say,
hey, Tom, look over there.
Hmm?
See that fella coming in with a blonde?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what a bum. That's the biggest nobody in the business. Let me tell you what he did.
Now, Bill, what did you call him?
I called him a nobody, Tony. I know what you're getting
at. No, you better let me tell you what I'm getting at. It'll save time. All right, now. That nobody that you saw in the restaurant... Say he died about a year later.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
And what happened to him?
Oh, he became Bridie Murphy.
All right, Bill, now
I'm
look.
I'm sorry, go on.
He died. He died and became one of that great assembly of nobodies.
Uh-huh.
He's one of them, like all the others. Everybody who's ever been called a nobody, after they die, they come back. They're the nobodies who ring doorbells and aren't there when you answer, who ring phones and hang up.
Oh,
well, now you do understand?
Well, I understand, Tony, that this is a very cute fantasy, Tony, a play on words. All the slobs I've ever called nobodies come back to haunt me, huh? Oh, well, this I understand, and it's very clever, and it's very cute.
And you really understand?
I said I understand.
Good. And do you understand that those nobodies, they don't like being nobodies, they want to be somebodies?
Kind of neurotic ghosts, huh? Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense for a fantasy, Tony.
Now, that's fine, that's fine. Now, you've got half of it, Bill. What you call the fantasy, what I call the fantasy of the show, but there's also the logic in the show.
No?
Clear, cold logic, realism, fact. I don't care what you call it, Bill, and I guess this is the thing that's throwing you, the combination of the two.
It must be.
The character you're playing doesn't believe in ghosts, so that nobody who rings the bell has to have substance for you. Therefore, he is somebody.
No, he isn't, Tony. He's the absence of the somebody. If nobody's standing outside my door, somebody isn't standing out there either.
That's right. He was gone when you answered. But he's somebody. He's somewhere around. He has to be.
You know, I got a wonderful idea. Why don't you sell this routine to Abbott and Costello? It's better than who's on first.
That's fine. You're a big help, Bill. Thank you.
All right, all right. Okay,
now,
all
hold
right.
Hold it.
Look, right. Tony, we've... taken long enough over this. Just tell me how you want me to play it, and let's get the thing over with, huh?
Realistically, Bill, that's all.
Now, that's all.
You asked me to tell you how I wanted you to play it. I've told you.
You can't combine fantasy and realism,
no,
Tony.
No, you can't, Bill, and I can. I've done it, and there's the script.
All right, then I'm a lousy actor. I'm sorry.
So am I, but that's not getting the show on the air.
Look, let me ask you something. You want me to read this stuff straight, huh? And believable?
That's right.
The fantasy part, too?
Yes, yes, but you make it fantasy, remember, only because you don't want to believe that it's logical, that it's happening. It's your way in the story of running away from reality.
I'm running away from nobody,
yes,
huh?
You are.
Oh, well, boy, that's pretty scary stuff, that is. Oh, if I don't watch out, all the nobodies will come some dark night and get me, huh? Well, that's real strong stuff. It's raw and true to life and documentary.
You know, Bill... that's not a bad idea. The nobodies all over the world, they don't like people like you. You're a somebody. A big somebody.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ellis.
Mm-hmm. And people like you, somebodies like you, call them nobodies. Make them nobodies. And the poor swine, they try to get even.
Ringing doorbells.
Mm-hmm, but it doesn't really get them even. It's a pretty empty victory. Now, the one with the least influence, importance, the most insignificant nobody of all, he's the one who gets a thought.
We'll make a list. We'll make a list of everybody, anybody who's done this to us, made us what we are, nobodies. We wanted to be somebodies all our lives, and They pushed us down, squashed us. So we'll just make a list.
You mean a list through all the ages?
Oh, no, no. Just the dangerous ones, the somebody's living today.
What'll we do with them?
What they've done to us.
Make them nobodies?
Well, why not?
But how? We've tried murder. They always catch somebody for the crime. They don't believe that nobody did it. They don't believe in nobody.
Well, we can make them believe. We'll make all those big, important, influential somebodies like us. But the only difference is they won't have to be dead first. They'll just disappear right off the face of the earth.
But how can we do it? How can we make them disappear?
Well, we use the same method with them as we do with ourselves when we ring a doorbell or make a noise in a house at night. Dissolution. They'll vanish. Poof.
Do you think it would work? Surely it must have been tried before.
Well, not that I've heard. At least it's worth the effort. And I know who we'll start with.
Who?
An actor. I remember what he used to call me. He thinks he's a big somebody. An actor. His name's William Conrad. Yes, sir, we'll start with William Conrad, and when I'm finished with him, he'll be the greatest nobody, the most worthless non-entity in all of existence throughout time.
You know, I'm getting pretty sick of this, Tony.
What, Bill?
You sitting there making snide remarks about me.
No, nonsense. I'm a writer. I've outlined a fable. It's just an extension of the story we're supposed to be doing in about 10 minutes. Maybe someday I'll make it the sequel.
Not with me, you won't.
Oh, come on, I'm only kidding.
I don't feel like kidding, Tony.
Well, there doesn't seem to be anything else to do. Look, you might as well relax until airtime, Bill. Take it easy. I gotta go in and time Hugh's closing. Hugh Douglas.
Ready, Mr. Ellis.
Hey, Tony, wait a minute.
Hold it, Hugh. Yes, Bill.
Look, let me get one thing straight, huh? I know it's a little late and we'll probably never agree, but for my own ego as an actor, I'd like to have at least some idea of what I got to do with your script, huh?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
All right, now you say this show's logical, forgetting the fantasy, and, well, so help me for the last time. You say that in reality, in substance, nobody and nothing are absolutely and definitely somebody and something, right?
That's right, that's right. The whole story is built on that premise.
And you believe that, huh?
Yes, you know I believe it.
Now, this isn't a philosophical discussion, huh?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
All right, will you grant me this? If I can prove to you that you're wrong, and, well, I'm not just saying this because I want to be right, but if I can prove to you that you're wrong, will you come over and,
Bill,
on my side of the...
Are we going to do this thing?
All right, now hold it, Quad. Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Look, I'm just trying for the last time to understand this thing, huh? Now, look, if I prove that you're wrong, that you're making a play on words, that it's a matter of semantics, this nobody-somebody business, will you let me play the show for what I think it is, a very nice imaginative piece, but not to be taken for anything else. Not realism, not logic, just pure romantic fantasy.
Bill, dear old Bill, if you can prove that in 5 minutes, you sing the part if you want to. Do anything you want with it. But if not, will you do it my way? Will you try to make it realistic?
Okay, Tom. You got a deal. Who's that behind you, Tony? Mm-hmm.
Where? Nobody. Nobody there.
Ah, there. You see? Nobody there. Nobody there. Am I right?
No.
Did you hear anybody, Tony, anything behind you before I told you to turn around?
No.
And there wasn't anybody, was there?
No.
You're sure now?
Well, come on. Yes, I'm sure. So what?
Hugh, no. Turn around. Face me, Tom. Hugh, you mind standing behind Tony and making a noise, saying something?
Mr. Ellis, I wish we could time that closing. It's getting awfully close to airtime, you know.
Did you hear him, Tony?
Well, of course I heard him.
Well, turn around.
Oh, come on now.
Is somebody there? Turn around, Tony. Take a look.
All right. All right, now what does that prove?
Somebody's there, Tony, right now. Hugh Douglas. But a minute ago, when you turned around, nobody was there. Nobody. You see? And that nobody wasn't somebody, now was it?
Hmm.
All right, now, look at this table. Right here. You see anything?
No.
There's nothing on the table, huh? Nothing. No thing. You can't hear it, you can't see it, you can't feel it, because it doesn't exist. Am I right?
He's right.
No, all right.
There's nothing there.
Please, let's have it quiet. All right, go on, go on.
All right, now. What's that, Tony?
Well, you...
It's a quarter, right?
Yes, it's a quarter.
A quarter. Something, huh? You see it, you feel it, you even heard it when I threw it on the table. But the nothing on the table a second ago wasn't something until I threw that quarter down there. Now, was it?
Mr. Ellis, we've only got 3.5 minutes. If you're going to want to make any cuts, I've got
All right, Hugh, all right. In a minute. We'll have time. Now, don't worry. Well, let me think a minute, Bill.
Oh, well, go ahead, Tony. We've got all kinds of time.
There's nothing...
You see, Tony, that's what I've been trying to tell you. We got a nice fantasy to play here, but that's all.
Wait a minute. Will you let me think, please?
If you'll just accept the fact that it isn't logic and you'll let me play it as a fantasy, we'll have a good show, Tony. Well, a fair show, anyway. I'd know what to do with the part. I could understand how to play it, Tony.
Bill, I hate to admit it, but you know something?
What?
You're right. It's a play on words.
Well, thank you.
3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Oh, come on.
Now it makes sense, huh? Oh, you know, it just wouldn't have worked, Tony, the other way. Me trying to play against what you've written. Well, that's why I couldn't figure it out.
No, you're right, Bill. You are right, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and I've given you a bad time.
Oh, forget it, Tony. I'll admit you had me going for a while. You know, you can be awfully convincing when you want to be. I was beginning to wonder if two and two did make...
Well, I tell you, I'll buy you a drink after the show. Now, I'll make it 2 drinks.
Okay. Mr. Ellis?
Yes, just a second, Hugh. Now, look, Cast, I'm sorry about that dress rehearsal, but will you just play it as you did on the first and second readings? It was fine, sounded fine. This nonsense of mine won't affect you. Bill knows what to do. My apologies.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, Hugh. Yeah, look, why don't you just make an optional 10-second cut? That ought to do it. And if I need it, I'll give you the signal, all right?
Well, I haven't even seen
it. Hey, Tone, look, there's just one more thing.
Yes, Bill.
Look, you know, at the end of the script where I'm supposed to be afraid of and nobody's coming to get me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if I cut line 25 that maybe...
What?
Maybe.
Well, what, Bill?
What's that noise?
Well, I don't hear anything.
Listen, Tony, you didn't hear it.
No, it's just a ringing in your ears. Nothing.
But it is something.
Now, look, this
What's
is a good cut
noise?
That Bill suggested. Cast, will you make this cut on page 21? Page 21, 21, line 25. And that's cut, all right?
Yeah. 2 minutes.
Now, is Bill going to finish the speech, or do I...
What's the matter, MJ? Were you sick? Mary Jane?
Bill.
What?
He's gone.
Well, he's probably just gone up.
No, he was standing there right behind you. I was looking at him, and he just disappeared in front of my eyes.
What are you talking about? Bill? Bill?
Mr. Ellis, I've got to read this through.
Where's Bill?
Tony, he's standing right behind you. Just
well, I know. Bill?
Farley, did you see him?
Did anybody see Bill?
I was looking at him. I saw him, and he just wasn't there.
Bill? Bill! Where did he go? Hey, Bill!
I've got to do this closing. Will somebody please time the closing?
What's going on out there?
I don't know. Bill Conrad seems to have disappeared or something.
Well, better go ahead anyway. We'll time the closing.
Okay. CBS Radio has presented the CBS Radio Workshop from Hollywood tonight, A Matter of Logic, which was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis. Mr. William Conrad and Mr. Ellis were heard as themselves. Others in our cast were Stacey Harris, Mary Jane Croft, Hugh Douglas, Parley Bear, Fred Mackay, Ben Wright, Robert Chadwick, and Bill James. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when we again present the CBS Radio Workshop. Suppose 500 forest fires were going to break out tomorrow, and that 450 were going to be started by people like you. Fantastic? Not at all. Judging by past year's figures, that's exactly what we can expect, unless we agree to be careful and make man-made fires a thing of the past. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of CBS News, to be followed on most of these same stations by My Son Jeep. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.